last week, I dropped an entire brand new quart of white paint down my basement stairs. And yes, it was a mess, especially since I'm the kind of person that doesn't keep paper towels around the house. And if you're thinking, how does one drop an entire brand new quart of white paint down the basement steps? It might go something like this. In an impulsive move and a desire to not have to make another trip up and down the stairs, I decided to grab one more thing when I was heading into the basement. A thing that slipped out of my hands almost immediately and tumbled down the stairs. And believe it or not, this is another way that ADHD symptoms show up in your life. So let's discuss how ADHD impacts your physical, internal, and external life on today's episode of the ADHD Mompreneur. Welcome to the ADHD Mompreneur podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lingo. I'm a mom and entrepreneur with over a decade of experience in both. I also have ADHD, so I know firsthand how difficult it can be to navigate the neurotypical world as a mompreneur with a neurodivergent brain. And since you've probably already stopped paying attention to this boring introduction, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. After I got my official ADHD diagnosis, there were so many aha moments that occurred to me in terms of my behavior and my actions. Like the reason why I was always covered in random bruises, or why I would wake up in the middle of the night and I couldn't stop the wheels in my brain spinning. Last week, we talked about how ADHD and low dopamine levels can impact the executive function in your brain. This week, we are going to explore how lower dopamine levels can impact you physically, behaviorally, and in your relationships. And since I shared my story about the paint can, let's start out with something that I regularly struggle with, which is clumsiness. You know, I've lived in the same house since 2009, and I still manage to hit my hips or my arms on doorknobs and doorframes, and I'm pretty sure that no one has changed where the doors are in my house since I've lived here. And while clumsiness isn't directly related to executive function, motor skills and sensory processing do rely heavily on dopamine. And if you are someone with chronically low dopamine levels, you may have a little bit more of a struggle with spatial awareness. Next, let's talk a little about hyperactivity, which obviously is in the name, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, but I feel like it's a bit of a misnomer in terms of when I hear the word hyperactivity, I think about like an 8-year-old who has had too much cake at a birthday party and comes home and is bouncing off the walls. That's not necessarily how hyperactivity will always exhibit itself. In fact, any restless or fidgety behavior can qualify as hyperactivity. For me personally, it is tapping my foot. Whether it's when I'm watching TV or I'm trying to fall asleep at night or I'm doing my work, my foot will be constantly jumping up and down. It can also show up as interrupting people in conversations or excessive talking. Even aggression has been attributed to hyperactivity within ADHD. So why is it that some of us with ADHD exhibit hyperactivity symptoms? It could be because low dopamine levels lead to lower self-control and more impulsivity, or it could be that your body is stimming or trying to stimulate the production of dopamine, which is our next symptom. So stimming is reward-seeking behavior, and many of us with ADHD are on a constant hunt for some sort of reward that will help to produce more dopamine. In fact, it can be almost physiologically painful for us to not have stimulation of some sort. And because the reward system in an ADHD brain tends to be a little underactive compared to our neurotypical counterparts, it's kind of a go big or go home system when it comes to us stimulating the flow of dopamine. We might be satisfied with things like food or sex or exercise or competition, But what really gets us going a lot of times is high-risk behavior. We're talking racing motorcycles or skydiving or gambling or compulsive shopping. But bigger isn't necessarily always better when it comes to stimulating dopamine for us ADHDers because it can lead to our fourth symptom, which is sleep issues. And sleep issues can be a little tricky because if you were to go to your doctor and say that you're having trouble sleeping and that you're finding that you are more forgetful or that you're having trouble focusing throughout the day, you could be experiencing sleep deprivation. But you could also be experiencing ADHD. Both ADHD and sleep deprivation are going to include having trouble falling asleep, waking up in the middle of the night and having trouble getting back to sleep, and struggling to wake up in the morning. So like many of the symptoms we discussed last week and we'll discuss today, it's sort of the conglomeration of all of these things together rather than one specific symptom that is going to lead to I have ADHD or I have sleep deprivation issues. Another daily activity that many of us ADHDers struggle with is eating. And just to be clear, I'm not speaking of eating disorders per se. That's another topic altogether. What I am referring to is the fact that our low dopamine levels can contribute to us making less than ideal food choices. Because we've learned either consciously or unconsciously that things with sugar or a lot of carbs can be a great quick dopamine release. Or there's many of us that will get very hyper-focused into a project or a task, and we will simply forget to eat until it is absolutely a necessity, and then we just kind of grab whatever first appeals to us. And as we discussed last week, lower dopamine levels have a tendency to show up as impulsive behavior, or you may lack a little bit of self-control, which could mean that you would make a poor food choice or that you would just eat as much of whatever you could get your hands on as quickly as possible. And when it comes to eating, it probably doesn't help that meal planning requires a lot of executive function. You have got to be organized. You've got to be consistent. You've got to make a lot of decisions. And so many of us with ADHD both struggle with the eating part and the figuring out what to eat part. Next, let's talk a little about perfectionism, because I, along with many people that I know with ADHD, struggle on that hamster wheel of perfectionism. This could be due to a lot of factors, including a fear of failure, hyperfocus, or an attempt to control an outcome of a situation. Because if you create the perfect report, or you design the perfect room in your house, or you decorate the perfect cake for your kid's birthday, you are clearly reliable, motivated, and responsible, right? But perfectionism often leads to procrastination for many of us ADHDers, and it can show up in one of three ways. There is the perfectionism procrastination, which means that you are unable to start something until you have all the perfect ingredients or all the perfect supplies and the perfect amount of time and everything that you need so that you can make it completely perfect, which means that oftentimes you don't start at all. The second way you might use perfectionism as procrastination is if you have tried something similar in the past and failed, you may not want to start for fear that you will be unsuccessful this time again. And finally, you might use perfectionism as procrastination if you decide to spend your energy and effort on something that you do know that you can perfect, rather than working on something that you might need to or even want to do, but that you're not quite as sure that you'll be successful at. And a fear of failure or an attempt to control outcomes is perfectly understandable when you think about our next symptom, which is emotional dysregulation. Those of us with ADHD often experience emotions much more intensely than the neurotypical person might, especially when it comes to things like frustration or anger or love or guilt or failure or sadness. which can make life a little bit difficult to manage. I've actually got an upcoming episode about rejection sensitivity dysphoria, or RSD, where I will do a little deeper dive on this idea. But I did want to discuss emotional dysregulation briefly here, because there are times when ADHD is misdiagnosed or perhaps underdiagnosed in terms of depression or anxiety because of these symptoms, these intense emotions that you're feeling. And while depression and anxiety can be comorbid conditions with ADHD, many times if you treat the ADHD symptoms, it will help to remedy the symptoms of depression and anxiety. Not every time, but I will say that it really helped with my anxiety once I started to understand my ADHD and how it contributed to my anxiety. And another way that our emotional dysregulation can contribute to our behavior as ADHDers is that we often have low self-esteem. And this is probably because of the way that your ADHD behaviors impact your life and your relationship. You might be frustrated with yourself because you procrastinate all the time, or you can't motivate yourself to get stuff done. You might have spent your childhood being asked by teachers and parents, "I don't understand why you can't behave," or "Why can't you just sit still?" or "Why won't you just shut up?" And you may have started to question why it is that you can't seem to follow through on these simple things. This is why I feel like having an official ADHD diagnosis can really help to dig into some of this emotional baggage you may have, especially if you are diagnosed late in life. My diagnosis really helped me to process the idea that it wasn't that I wasn't trying to behave or that I didn't want to be quiet, but that my brain just for some reason wasn't getting the message and telling my mouth. And finally, our hyperactivity, forgetfulness, hair trigger tempers, and impulsivity can often make it difficult for us ADHDers to create friendships or maintain romantic relationships. One thing that I think is really great about the recent spotlight on neurodivergence over the last couple of years is that it helps the general public to understand that diagnoses like ADHD or ASD or OCD are your brain operating on a different OS rather than a chosen behavior that these people are making. My hope is that with this new understanding that society is gaining when it comes to neurodivergent diagnosis, that we will also start to see more awareness and acceptance in schools and in homes, that we're not trying to put everybody into the same box, but that we are trying to build different boxes to help to accommodate how these unique brains work. All right, so we have covered executive function symptoms. We've discussed how symptoms can impact us physically or internally or externally. What do we do with this information now? What if you've spent the last 2 weeks listening to me prattle on about all the ADHD symptoms and you're wondering what your next step should be? First, I recommend learning a little bit more about ADHD. I personally love to recommend the book Driven to Distraction by Dr. Edward Hollowell and Dr. John Rady. Both of these doctors are leading experts in the world on ADHD, and they both have been diagnosed with ADHD, so they write for their audience from a place of experience. If reading isn't your thing, there are so many podcasts and webinars and YouTube channels where you can start to learn a little bit more about how ADHD manifests itself. Next, I would encourage you, if it is possible, to seek an official diagnosis. And actually, I will be deep diving ADHD diagnosis next week on our episode. I'll talk about how to go about getting a diagnosis, why I decided to go through and get an official diagnosis, and what the actual diagnosis process looked like for both me and when I went through it with my son. I'd love to have you back next week, so be sure to hit that follow or subscribe button so you don't miss an episode of the ADHD Mompreneur. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the ADHD Mompreneur podcast. If you're a business-owning mom with ADHD, you're going to need to grab my free, customizable, essential checklists for ADHD mompreneurs by visiting bit.ly/checklistsforADHDmompreneurs or by following the link in the episode description. To keep up with my latest episodes, make sure you hit the follow or subscribe buttons. And do it now, before you forget. Until next time,